Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Today we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 6, entitled Prahlad Instructs His Demoniac Schoolmates, and we're on Text 6. Pungso Varsha Satam Yahus Tad Ardham Sajitat Manaha Nishpalam Yadaso Ratyam Setendham prapitastamaha Pungsa varsham satam yayus Tad ardham sajitat manaha Nishpalam yadaso ratyam Setendham prapitastamaha Pungso Varsha Satam Yayus Tad Ardham Sajitat Manaha Nishpalam Yadaso Ratyam Setendham Prapitastamaha Matajis. Pungsa, of every human being, Varsha Satam, 100 years, he, indeed, Ayu, duration of life, Tut, of that, Ardham, half, Cha, and Ajita Atmanaha of a person who is a servant of his senses, Nishpalam, without profit, without meaning, yet because Aso, that person, Ratyam, at night, Sete, sleeps, Andham, ignorance, forgetting his body and soul. Prapitaha, being completely possessed of. Tamaha, darkness. Translation. Every human being has a maximum duration of life of 100 years. But for one who cannot control his senses, half of those years are completely lost because at night he sleeps 12 hours, being covered by ignorance. Therefore, such a person has a lifetime of only 50 years. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Jai. Lord Brahma, a human being, and an ant all live for 100 years, but their lifetimes of 100 years are different from one another. This world is a relative world, and its relative moments of time are different. Thus, the 100 years of Brahma are not the same as the 100 years of a human being. From Bhagavad Gita, we understand that Brahma's daytime of 12 hours equals 4,300,000 times 1,000 years. Sahasra yuga paryantam ahar yad brahmano vidu. Thus the varsha satam, or 100 years, are relatively different according to time, person, and circumstances. As far as human beings are concerned, the calculation given here is right for the general public. Although one has a maximum of 100 years of life, by sleeping one loses 50 years. Eating, sleeping, sex life, and fear are the four bodily necessities, but to utilize the full duration of a life, a person desiring to advance in spiritual consciousness must reduce these activities. That will give him an opportunity to fully use his lifetime. Om Agyan Timarandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutade Swayameva Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Anchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyeva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. Thank you for giving me this opportunity to purify myself by speaking on the Srimad Bhagavatam. And I humbly beg the mercy of the senior Prabhupada disciples so that I can properly speak the Gaudiya Vaishnav Siddhanta as given to us by A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. So here, Prahlad Maharaj is continuing his instructions to his classmates. And he's giving the Raja Vidyam, Raja Guyam, the highest knowledge, the king of education, the most confidential of all knowledge to his classmates, instructing them that this human form of life is very important. 8,400,000 species of life, and one is able to come to the human life, and they get the chance to liberate themselves from this material world, from this bondage, this samsara. And it's very interesting because I have a five-year-old. My five-year-old doesn't always speak like this, but it's very interesting how schools, you know, going into making a decision of where am I going to send my child to school? Am I going to put her into the public school? Am I going to homeschool her? And doing a lot of research, the public schools are withering. They're doing very, very poorly. A lot of schools in Los Angeles are even known as dropout factories. There's one school that I think in the last 40 years, they determined that there was 60,000 students that had gone through only 20,000 of them had graduated. And so even on what to speak of a spiritual standard, on a material standard, the schools are failing in just material knowledge. And here Prahlad, he's speaking things that if a five-year-old spoke in a school, he would be immediately expelled. And so he's instructing us that we shouldn't waste our time. We should fully take advantage of this human form of life, of which we have 100 years. Every living entity is given 100 years. And Prabhupada explains how that what that means in a relative world. From Brahma to an ant, a human being, we all have 100 years. And I looked up some statistics of life expectancy. And actually in America, the life expectancy of males are only 75 years. So Prahlad Maharaj is being very kind, saying that we have 100 years. Kali Yuga is progressing and mankind is getting less and less years to live. So males, they only get 75 years. And if you cut that in half, it's 37 years. Females have a life expectancy of 83 years. So Krishna has blessed them with 8 more years because of childbirth and having to deal with husbands. They get a little extra time. And actually, just looking up these numbers, you would think, oh, we would be doing relatively good in America since we're technologically advanced. We've got a lot of hospitals. So can anybody guess on what America's rated in life expectancy? Twenty-three. Out of all the countries, we're 23 on the highest life expectancy. And then, so half of that is spent on sleeping. And another statistic says that an average American watches 4 hours of TV, which is basically like sleeping. So they're even wasting more time. Complete contamination. But so, in this life, in this society, this is seen as living a good life. Sleeping, watching TV, accumulating. Just imagine that half of that, so you live 75 years, 83 years, so you only get 37 years, and then even half of that is sleeping. So 37 years, and then half of TV, and then the rest of the time is spent for economic development. Society is pushing you to work like an ass, to accumulate things that you don't need. There's actually a great documentary that came out from the BBC called Century of the Self, and it shows how the agents of Maya have put this need that we don't desire objects anymore, but we actually need them. There's a nephew of Sigmund Freud. His name was Edward Bernays, and he's a psychoanalyst. And so he took psychoanalysis from his uncle, and he uses it for products. He uses it for consumerism. Back in the day, they called it propaganda, but that was a dirty word because of China and everybody using it to promote their totalitarianism, fascism. So they called it public relations. And now there's thousands of public relations offices. And they're spending day and night trying to get products out there that you need. Not that you want anymore. They actually use psychoanalysis in advertising. And, you know, you just see billboards. I was walking down the street the other day. There's this big billboard, and it's just right here on Bagley. And I think it's advertising some alcohol. And it just says two words, choose pleasure. So they're trying to figure out how can we get inside them that it's not just a want anymore, but it's a need. You need pleasure. iPods, iPhones, these are now necessities. They're not any more desires, but you actually need them in your life. And so we're we're wrapped up in this Western civilization of needs, wants, desires, economic development, eating better, sleeping better, trying to have sex life better, and fearing better, spending so much on defending. And the only way to get out of this cycle of desires and sleeping and eating is to actually come in contact with the sadhu. And this is the month of Kartik, and we're able to daily meditate on the wonderful Damodar Leela, which actually demonstrates this very well. As we know, Mother Yashoda got up very early to make some milk. She wanted to personally serve Krishna. She saw that all of the other maidservants of the house, they were engaged in other activities for Krishna. And so she got the best milk from the best cows. The cows are named Padmagandha, 8 best cows, because of the lotus-like fragrance that comes from the milk, Padmagandha. So she was boiling the milk. Krishna was sleeping, and he got up and he was hungry. So Krishna, he walked towards Mother Yashoda and he wanted milk. She was churning the butter, and he put his hand on the churning rod and stopped it. And she knew, I have to feed him. So she picked him up. And Mother Yashoda was dressed in a beautiful yellow saffron sari. Srila Prabhupada in the purport describes how those who are desiring to develop Vatsalya Ras, they should meditate on the bodily features of Mother Yashoda. And so the milk started boiling over on the stove that she was cooking down. And so she put Krishna down and she went to go take care of the milk. And Krishna, he became very angry. Anybody who has a child, they know if you don't give the child immediately what they want, they start very much getting angry and whining. So Krishna, he took a stone and he broke the yogurt pot. The yogurt came out. And he knew that he was wrong and he ran out. And there was an upside down mortar that he stood on, and he was distributing to the monkeys the milk and butter and yogurt that he had stolen. And he was looking around constantly, waiting for Mother Yashoda. And Mother Yashoda, she stopped what she was doing to go see what Krishna had done. She saw the pot was broken. So she followed his footprints outside, and there he was, distributing everything to his monkeys. And Mother Yashoda picked up a stick to scare the child, and she went after Krishna. And Krishna, he saw the monkeys were leaving, because they didn't want to get chastised also. So he looked back, saw Mother Yashoda, and he started running. And Mother Yashoda started running after him. And finally, Mother Yashoda caught him, and he was crying and rubbing his eyes because of seeing the mother with the whipping stick. So she threw the stick away, knowing that maybe he's too fearful, so throw the stick away. And to chastise him, she wanted to continue with her chores, so she wanted to bind Krishna. She thought, I need to teach him some kind of lesson. So Jiva Goswami says that she took the ribbons or string from her hair, tried to tie Krishna around the mortar, and it was 2 fingers too short. And so she went to the household, got more string, 2 fingers too short. She started getting string and rope from the other houses, and it was always 2 fingers too short. And the other ladies, the other gopis, they were looking at Mother Yashoda and kind of laughing. And, oh, he must have stolen butter from your house today instead of ours, kind of teasing Mother Yashoda a little bit. And it was always 2 fingers too short. And she was, flowers were falling from her hair, sweat was coming down. She was struggling like anything just to bind him. Very nice verses in the pastime about how yogis, they can't even capture the Paramatma. You know, who can capture Krishna? But Mother Yashoda, she captured Krishna. And Srila Vishvanatha Chakravarti Thakur in his commentary talks about how the space of 2 fingers has to be filled with bhakta nishta and sva nishta. The devotee has to work very hard, has to labor for Krishna and work very hard. And then finally, sva nishta, Krishna's causeless mercy comes. So those two things filled the gap, those two fingers, and Mother Yashoda was finally able to bind Krishna because of Krishna's mercy. And Prabhupada makes a very interesting statement in the purport that we should understand that the devotee does not control Krishna. The love of the devotee, the prema of the devotee, is what controls Krishna. So not the devotee himself, but the pure love of the devotee controls Krishna. And so Mother Yashoda, after struggling so hard, she tied Krishna to the mortar and then she left. And she had placed some cowherd boys around to guard Krishna. And Krishna had seen the twin Arjun trees, which the Arjun trees, if you've read anything about them, they have very, very deep roots. And they can be very big trees. So here's baby Krishna, and he pulls the mortar. He sees the trees, and he remembers Narada Muni's curse. And he pulls the mortar through the trees, and with just a little effort, boom, the trees crash down with such a loud thunder, with such a loud, loud crash. And then in the next chapter of the deliverance of Managriva and Nalakuvara, Parikshit Maharaj, he asks, how is it that Narada Muni, he became angry at Nalakuvara and Manigriva? And he actually uses the same word that's here on this verse today, tamaha, anger, darkness. So how is it that Narada Muni, he became angry? And so Shukadev Goswami starts describing how Manigriva and Nalakuvara, you know, they were demigods, but they were misusing their free will. They were enjoying to the topmost degree. They were sons of Kuvera, and they were able to frolic and play at Mount Kailash. And the Mandakini Ganga there, they would bathe with the lotus flowers, nice atmosphere, and they would drink the Varuni juice, and they would be constantly intoxicated. Their eyes would be rolling around, and they would be playing with the women and in the Ganga. And so just like Prahlad Maharaj here, he's saying, you know, try not to be overcome by ignorance. Try to use your time to worship Vishnu. Manigriva and Nalakuvara, they were completely puffed up with riches. And by Narada Muni's grace, he happened to be walking along. He came by, and the women are naturally more religious, they covered themselves up immediately. But Manigriva and Nalakuvara, they were so puffed up that they didn't care that they were naked. Right in front of a sadhu, a saintly person, they were just standing naked, not caring. This is exactly like a lot of people nowadays. They don't know how to properly receive sadhus. They don't know how to properly take advantage of sadhus' association. Being puffed up with technological advancement, being puffed up with riches, or just having completely materialistic goals, they don't want anything to do with sadhus. They see it as a waste of time or as an obstruction to their sense gratification. So Narada Muni, he decided to curse them, and he started speaking to them. And Narada Muni, he instructs them, saying that being puffed up by wealth is even more illusory than being puffed up, blinded by bodily features, having beautiful bodily features, having high education, or having high birth. And he starts instructing them that those who are puffed up with wealth, they'll just use it on wine, women, and gambling. And you can see most of society, that's what enjoyment means. You know, you work so hard so you can enjoy in those three ways, wine, women, and gambling. And very interestingly, he starts talking about animal killing and how those who take the body as the self and who are puffed up with these riches, they'll even go on animal excursions, which is, you know, where growing up in South Dakota, that's so much of the society there is hunting. Everybody who, you know, wants to enjoy, they want to go on these hunting excursions. And so he instructs them very nicely. And so this is the mercy of the sadhu. that they're able to free those who are blinded by these material opulences, that they're able to come out of the cycle of birth and death by being in touch with the sadhu. And I just wanted to read this part because it shows the power of the sadhu. That Krishna, it says, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, to fulfill the truthfulness of the words of the greatest devotee Narada, slowly went to that spot where the twin Arjun trees were standing. And Krishna says, although these two young men are the sons of the very rich Kuvera, and I have nothing to do with them, Devarshi Narada is my very dear and affectionate devotee, and therefore, because he wanted me to come face to face with them, I must do so for their deliverance. So Krishna didn't want anything to do with them, but he wanted everything to do with his devotee, Narada Muni. He only went there to free them because of Narada Muni promising them that they would see Krishna face to face. And at the end also, there's a very nice verse where Krishna, after the Manigriva and Nalakuvara, they've prayed to Krishna very beautiful prayers. Krishna says, when one is face to face with the sun, there's no longer darkness for one's eyes. Similarly, when one is face to face with a sadhu, a devotee, who is fully determined and surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one will no longer be subject to material bondage. And so this is, Srila Prabhupada has given us a chance to help others. He was the sadhu who came and he saved us. Meditating on the disappearance day of Srila Prabhupada, I was just remembering, you know, getting my first Srila Prabhupada's books from the library and just looking at the picture of Srila Prabhupada and just being like completely bewildered. Who is this personality? And just reading his books, came in contact with Sura Prabhu, and I'm grateful to this day that I'm given this chance to try and become a devotee, to be in the association of you great souls, and to be able to chant the holy names. We were talking with Brian last week, and he was just like, how lucky are we to be able to, you know, to be in the time when Lord Chaitanya advented. How lucky are we to really have this opportunity to engage in devotional service. And I was so sick last weekend. You know, when devotees, they get sick, it's a very, like, reflective time. I was praying like anything. I hadn't been that sick for a long time. And I was just praying, like, is this going to keep going on? Like, you really reflect on your mortality. You know, hopefully I get better and, you know, everything goes okay. And it just, you know, like, really hit me that, man, I have a lot to work on. You know, I can't even be fully Krishna conscious when I'm sick, what to speak when I'm healthy. You know, I'm just struggling to be Krishna conscious, just a teeny little bit, whatever I can kind of conceive what Krishna consciousness is, seeing the great examples that we have before us. And so Srila Prabhupada, he's given us an opportunity to become sadhus. And then what does that mean? That means to try and help others become free from material bondage. And if we're sincere, then Krishna will come and he'll save them. I was reading Prabhupada Lilamrita on Disappearance Day, and there's one part where they go into Srila Prabhupada's room during the last days. And Srila Prabhupada says that he was talking about how if there's one Vaishnav in the world, he can completely deliver the entire world. And Satsarup Das Goswami said, yes, that's you, Srila Prabhupada. You're that Vaishnav. And Prabhupada said, and you become, each one of you, why not? And they said, we'll try, Prabhupada. He said, yes, try. Don't imitate, but follow in the footsteps. And so we're able to take part in this Gaudiya Vaishnav Sampradaya. By Srila Prabhupada's mercy, he gave us everything to become sadhus. And by following his instructions, following the four regulative principles, chanting 16 rounds, partaking in the sadhana of the temple, taking shelter of the senior devotees who have gotten Srila Prabhupada's mercy, who've had his, were in his presence and are, have been following his instructions for so many years. It's important for us junior devotees who are just starting to engage in Krishna consciousness to really take shelter and take guidance from those who've been doing Krishna consciousness, who are sadhus themselves. We should be very grateful that we have this opportunity. And I'm struggling, and forgive me for all of my offenses and weaknesses. And thank you for listening to me today. Is there any questions or comments that anybody would like to make? Eric Prabhu? Yeah. Push it on. So Eric.
It's on. Hare Krishna.
Oh, it's working.
Do humans live for only 100 years in Satya Yuga?
Yeah, exactly as you said, it's all relative according to the yuga and according to the living entity. All living entities have 100 years, but Satya Yuga, obviously, they live longer, so their 100 years is much more, relatively speaking, longer, and then starts going down as the yugas progress or digress.
I guess...
Did you want to? Oh, Archita Prabhu has a question or a comment or instruction.
I think I see a lot of quizzical looks here. It's like you said, it's relative. Like Prabhupada mentions even Lord Brahma. He's living 100 years by his perception. From our perspective, 4,300,000,000 years. So, yeah, 300 trillion. Yeah, for his complete lifetime. I was just talking from today's purport. From today's purport, Prabhupada mentioned just the segment. But from his perception, it's 100 years. So whatever yuga you're in, your perception is that you're living 100 years. That's the point. Whether you're in Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, Dwapara Yuga, or in Kali Yuga, perception is I have 100 years of life. I just wanted to ask you, thank you for a very, very wonderful presentation. Can you explain that sewer connection? I didn't catch that. You said you got books in the library, and then some or other sewer entered into the picture.
Well, I was living in South Dakota, grew up there, and there's no devotees, there's no temples there. And I got books just from the library. They were the older books, and I just started reading the books out of the library. And the only address for a temple was Los Angeles Temple, because they were the older books. And so I wrote to the BBT, and then maybe 3 days later, I get this call from Sura Prabhu. And we just started talking. He was my Vartma Pradarshika guru. He brought me to Krishna consciousness. So I was very grateful to him.
Thank you for a nice presentation. Specifically, I liked at the point when you came to explain about Narada Muni and the Yamali, the trees. When Krishna, you mentioned when Krishna came, he came specifically just to fulfill the words of Narada Muni. In similar occasions also, Krishna said to Arjuna, Konteya pratyanihina me bhakta pranashyati. And I'm just making a comment that it's very good when someone mentions about the sadhu, about the qualities, because the whole world is starving for that personality. And when we go and distribute books, sometimes people ask questions like that, like, Are you really imbibing this? Are you following this? Are you, is for real what you're saying, what you're presenting, because it sounds really good, good to be truth. And then it makes you think, it's like, oh my God, I have to become more serious. I have a lot of anarthas. So thank you for reminding us this, because I can see that no matter how beautiful the philosophy might be in any religion, and we obviously have, in our view, the best philosophy, but we still have a lot of anarthas and a lot of things. I'm speaking for myself. And if we want this community to grow, and if we want the world to be attracted, we have to keep displaying this from the top to the bottom, no exceptions. And then the people will come by hundreds, just like Prabhupada. Every time the senior devotees come and talk about the pastimes of Prabhupada, you just want to get your book bag or go in Harinam and run, because you want to do something for someone that you love, that you feel that you can give your love, because that person gave you care and attention and love and time. So it's an urgency for each one of us to do that. And thank you again for that. You know, the way you presented it was really nice. When the sadhu comes in the picture, immediately everything is going to be good. So we want to strive for that.
Hare Krishna.
I feel I have to say something about this, because sometimes we get into this mood of where is the shining personality who's going to attract everybody syndrome. But that's not what our movement is about. When Prabhupada was here, how many of us personally met him that before we came to Krishna consciousness? Very few. We met his disciples on the street. And they, like, you know, Satchitananda was saying, they were still had their anarthas, but still we were attracted. Why? Why were we attracted? We got the book from somebody who had anarthas, or we got the prasadam, or we heard the music being chanted by somebody who had anarthas. So it's not like, you know, we have to wait for some shining personality to attract everybody. And Prabhupada himself dealt with that. Specifically in one case where two brahmacharis really ticked off a lady on distribution. She wrote, and Prabhupada got the letter. And Prabhupada wrote back and said, you know, I'm sorry about this, but try to understand that they're trying to become perfect. And see it in that light. And then you'll have a different mood towards them. So when we're preaching, yes, we should all individually try to work on our anarthas and all, but it's not that only when a shining personality comes that everybody will be attracted. The attraction is there already. Prabhupada left a very, very attractive movement. His temples, his books, his devotees, his festivals, his everything is attractive. And it's not that it's waiting for some person to come to make it attractive. It's already attractive. We just have to keep plugging on and realize that the feedback is not going to be immediate. We're planting seeds, and seeds don't grow immediately. They grow over some time, maybe over a lifetime. After we are all gone, these people will die and they'll take birth as devotees in their next life. And that's how the 10,000 years becomes more and more manifest, because each succeeding generation becomes purer and purer based on the work of the preceding generation. And you get more and more people who are attracted right from birth, first time they meet a devotee or like that. And it spreads more and more throughout the society. It's not that we're waiting for one shining personality to attract people. That's the wrong conception.
Thank you.
I'd like to chime in on that a little bit, because when I joined the temple in Denver, the person that spoke to me the most or gave me Krishna consciousness, when I finally moved in, I found out they had to physically throw him out of the temple. So they threw him out the front door. And I was a little saddened by that. But I think I have to kind of agree with Acharya Prabhu. He definitely planted the seed of Krishna consciousness within myself. And I was really appreciative about it. I was sad. But probably he was like either seriously crazy or he was doing some real serious nonsense.
Hearing that from you great souls, for us junior devotees, though, it is very nice to have you great souls who are senior Prabhupada disciples be shining examples for us, though. You know, this movement is going on because of senior devotees who are doing a lot of service for so many years. And I think, you know, as I guess just looking in my heart, the more I go through trials and tribulations in my own Krishna consciousness, struggling to be Krishna conscious. I have, my respect grows more and more and more for senior Prabhupada disciples who are still here. And I feel that you guys are shining personalities for the newer generation to come up, because you're showing us, you know, for so many years what it's like to become perfect. You know, Bhrigupati Prabhu, Svavas Prabhu, Tidit Mataji Naikatma, Tatvavit Prabhu, so many personalities that we should really be grateful that we're in your guys' association, in your Prabhu's association. It's a great gift. And New Dwarka is a very special place to really take advantage of your great association. Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.